The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So the Buddha highlighted three characteristics or marks of existence as a way of pointing us towards providing a kind of way of seeing that's conducive to freedom. And he pointed to the three marks of existence because they are not our habitual view. So dukkha, anicca, anatta, that things cannot quench our thirst, that things don't stay the same, they're made of change, and that things don't have a center point, don't have an essence. There's not the thing within the thing. Much of this revolves around this teaching, this characteristic of anicca, of impermanence, uncertainty, unreliability. And some of what we're learning is about the universality of change. Because the mind defaults to the assumption of permanence. And Subhikkhu Bodhi says, anicca, impermanence, does not mean merely that everything eventually comes to an end. At this level, it means something deeper and more pervasive, namely that conditioned phenomena are in a constant process, happenings which break up and perish almost as soon as they arise. The stable objects appearing to the senses reveal themselves to be strings of momentary formations. Now we know that things change, but in a certain way we tend to view change from a vantage point that we feel doesn't change. We tend to view the changing world from the sense of self as that which doesn't change. And there is an interesting research study that speaks to this. And it speaks specifically to our trouble imagining the self changing. And so what they did was got data from about 20,000 people. And some of these people, they asked, how much have you changed in terms of preferences and values, personality? How much have you changed over the past decade? And then they asked other people, how much do you think you will change over the next decade? Right? So for example, they took a 60-year-old and said, how much did you change in your 50s? And then they took a 50-year-old and said, how much do you think you will change in your 50s, right? And then they compared. And the finding was that quite consistently, people envisioned much less change than their counterparts experienced. And so the authors write, people, it seems, regard the present as a watershed moment at which they have finally become the person they will be for the rest of their lives. History, it seems, is always ending today. Yeah. History is always ending today. This study was it was published in the journal Science and was picked up by the New York Times. They did a piece on this and interviewed a psychologist, Dr. McAdams. And here's what they said in the Times. Dr. McAdams was interviewed about the research. He says, McAdams was reminded of a conversation with his four-year-old daughter during the craze for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the 1980s. When he told her they might not be her favorite thing one day, she refused to acknowledge the possibility. But later in her 20s, she confessed to him that some part of her four-year-old mind had realized he might be right. Dr. McAdams says, she resisted the idea of change as it dawned on her at age 4 because she could not imagine what else would ever substitute for the turtles. She had a sneaking suspicion that she would change, but she couldn't quite imagine how. So she stood with her assertion of continuity. Maybe something like this goes on with all of us. Maybe something like this goes on with all of us. And so I read that and it alerts me to the ways in which I do project a certain vision of permanence, stability, continuity, often without even knowing it. And this teaching on anicca, it first comes as a kind of heartbreak. It first comes as maybe even the cause of suffering. And the reason why the Buddha sought something that doesn't change. And of course, we do have to learn to let go because we have no other choice. Holding on is not even a possibility in a way. And so at first, anicca is a heartbreak. But then it actually starts to become more and more of a refuge. We don't usually think of anicca as a refuge. It's a refuge in the sense that both the big anicca of people, places, things changing, fading, dying. It's a refuge in the sense that knowing that, life becomes very open. It's a kind of radical openness. It's the future, the unfolding of our lives starts to feel radically open when we know that. When we know the truth of big anicca. But we also actually can take refuge in the momentary anicca that Bhikkhu Bodhi was pointing to. The kind of flow of change moment by moment that we come to know, and we come to know ourselves as part of that change, inextricably part of that change. Each moment, being born, dying. Each story of our life, being born, dying. Each notion of who we are, what will be, being born and dying. And in this way, Anicca becomes not the expression of suffering, but a refuge. So, just offer these words for reflection.